CRTV's afternoon edition with me, Drusilla Mokoso Jockey. In our top stories, certificates and qualifications issued by public and private institutions in Cameroon can henceforth be verified following the launch of an authenticity platform, an initiative of the Ministries of Higher Education and Public Service and Administrative Reform. Dermatologists from French-speaking African countries are meeting in Yaoundé for their fifth congress and on the occasion sounding the alarm against skin bleaching carried out by at least 25% of African women with a risk of causing infections and life-threatening conditions. In sports, the first lap of the 24th Chantal Biya International Cycling Grand Prix has been won by Algerian rider Yassine Hamza. And those were our top stories, but first, the news bulletin.
The Bulletin with Winston Lebga. Cameroon has begun a project geared towards verifying the authenticity of the certificates issued to workers in the country. The exercise has been jointly launched by the Minister of State, Minister of Higher Education, Professor Jacques Pham Dungo, and the Minister of Public Service and Administrative Reforms, Joseph Lee. The process is expected to facilitate the treatment of civil servants' documents in Cameroon. Over 400 internally displaced persons and close to 7,000 Cameroonian refugees in Nigeria who fled the socio-political upheavals in the northwest and southwest regions have received emergency humanitarian assistance from the government. The welfare of the beneficiaries is one of the recommendations of the Major National Dialogue that took place 5 years ago. The government of Cameroon is now encouraging their return to the communities where peace is gradually being restored. People who use various skin bleaching products in the quest for beauty have been warned that the chemicals therein can cause skin disorders, infections, and life-threatening conditions. The issue was highlighted in Yaoundé today during the fifth Congress of the Society of Francophone African Dermatologists, which will go on till the 4th of October. Cameroon's Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development has, together with the Swiss Ambassador to Cameroon, discussed ways of boosting private sector development and improving on the country's energy sector as a means to further strengthen economic ties between the two countries. This was during an audience Ambassador Nathalie Coley was granted in Yaoundé today with Minister Alamin Usman May. This news release, the Minister of Public Works informs road users that due to repeated damage perpetrated to the National Roads asset, and in particular to the Mora, the Banga Kuseri Road of National Road No. 1, he has prohibited through a decision of the 23rd of August 2024 the movement of oversized vehicles and or vehicles exceeding the total authorized loading weight as laid down by the law of the 27th of April 2022 under protection of the National Roads Asset. The vehicles concerned are A, those with the total axle weight of more than 13 tons for one axle, 21 tons for two axles, 27 tons for three axles, and 50 tons for a combination comprising a tractor, a semi-trailer, one or more trailers. B, with a length of 12 meters for single vehicles, 15.50 meters for articulated combinations, and 18 meters for road trains. C, with a maximum width of 2.5 meters and a maximum height of 4 meters. Any person infringing this measure without prejudice to the provisions of the Penal Code shall be liable to the penalties set out below as provided for in Articles 34 of the aforementioned law, in particular, payment of a fine of 2 million CFA francs for any transport without authorization from the Minister of Transport, 250,000 CFA francs for any oversized vehicle, 75,000 per excess ton for any vehicle with a total weight exceeding 10 tons. Immobilization and unloading of the vehicle at the transporter's expense and payment of the relevant fine. impoundment. In the event, the vehicle has been immobilized for more than 48 hours. Suspension of the transport license for repeat offenders. However, this measure shall not apply to vehicles belonging to the Defense and Security Forces or those with an exceptional transport authorization issued by the Minister of Transport. The Minister of Public Works once again calls on all road users in general and those of the aforementioned road in particular to be civic-minded and to comply strictly with the measures taken for the protection of roads assets laid down by the laws and regulations in force. The General Manager of the National Civic Service Agency for Participation in Development, Mr. Tausi, will chair on Wednesday, October the 2nd, an awareness meeting for public-private structures, civil society organizations, as well as decentralized local organizations on the hosting of volunteers of the National Civic Service. The meeting will take place in the conference room of the headquarters building of the National Civic Service Agency for Participation in Development. Abroad in Nigeria, President Bola Tinubu has pleaded with his compatriots to be patient as they continue to grapple with a tough economic situation. In an independent speech, Tinubu defends his economic reforms considered as controversial, saying they were necessary and are beginning to bear fruits. Meanwhile, protesters in the capital city, Abuja, as well as Lagos, are using the 64th anniversary of independence from Britain to denounce government's poor handling of the economy. In sports, the under-20 men's football team of Cameroon will, at 4 p.m. today, play against the Democratic Republic of Congo in a must-win game at the ongoing UNIFAC zonal qualifiers for the 2025 Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations. If they win this afternoon, they will qualify for next year's competition. In more news, the president of the Cameroon Football Federation, Samuel Eto'o, has been given a six-month ban by FIFA's disciplinary committee for violating Article 13 and 14 of the committee, which relates to offensive behavior and principles of fair play. According to FIFA's decision, the FECAFOOT boss is not allowed to attend any of the matches of the various national teams, and the incident that led to the ban occurred during the Under-20 Lionesses World Cup round of 16 match against Brazil. And Algerian rider Yassine Hamza is the winner of the first lap of the 24th Chantelbia International Cycling Grand Prix today from Cotin through Nangai Boko to Minta in the Upper Sanaga Division of the Central Region. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRT this afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people. Thank you for being with us. The strength of relations between the Republic of Cameroon and the Kingdom of Morocco, particularly in the domain of parliamentary cooperation, has been hailed by the Ambassador of Morocco to Cameroon, Mustapha Bou. This was after an audience granted him by the Speaker of Cameroon's National Assembly, the Right Honorable Kavaye Gedjibril. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Doris Batetatwekwe reports.
Upon arrival at the Speaker's Ngwaekele office this morning, the Moroccan diplomat Mustapha Bou was warmly received by the Right Honorable Kavaye Gedjibril's close aides, who ushered him to meet his host. The officials held talks which lasted for about 30 minutes. Ambassador Mustapha Bou told reporters after the audience that the courtesy visit was worth the while.
Our discussions dwelt on relations between our two parliaments, but also between the two states. I can assure you that these relations are perennial, solid, and historic.
The audience came on the heels of an official visit made by the Speaker, who led a delegation of the Lower House of Parliament to Morocco a week ago on the invitation of his counterpart in Rabat, Honorable Rachid Talbi El Alami. Speaker of Morocco's House of Representatives held talks with the Right Honorable Kavayege Jibril, during which they explored promising opportunities and great capacities of both countries to strengthen their parliamentary ties, highlighting the need to improve on economic relations by intensifying commercial exchanges for their common good. This, under the leadership of President Paul Biya and His Majesty King Mohammed VI. Cameroon and Morocco play an important role in Africa, particularly regarding security, stability, reinforcing development, and South-South cooperation.
Doris Batetatwekwe in that report. A platform to verify the authenticity of certificates and qualifications issued by universities, ministries, as well as public and private institutions to state workers is now operational in Cameroon. It was officially launched by the Minister of State, Minister of Higher Education, Professor Jacques Famdongo, in Yaoundé today. The launching ceremony was attended by the Minister of Public Service and Administrative Reform, Joseph Lee, who now states the importance of the platform. He was interviewed by staffman Gu Henry.
The problem was the one of authentication of diplomas. We can never integrate or recruit a young man who comes with a diploma without being sure that this one is a good one. There are many, many false papers that come to our ministry. The Prime Minister, head of government, told us that you are not allowed to integrate since you are not sure that the diploma that has been presented by a young man or a young lady is a good one. But the process used to take a long time because we had to write to institutions that are supposed to have delivered those diplomas. Sometimes we had to wait for 6 months, 1 year, 2 and even 3 years. But now we will just need to make a kind of click in our system and have the information. We will not do the job of the university or any other institution, that is to authentify. But we just need the information to be sure that it has been authentified, it has been delivered by the university. As soon as we have the information, the file can continue.
Cameroon's Minister of Public Service and Administrative Reform, Joseph Lee. In the meantime, university officials in Cameroon have been enjoined to ensure the appropriation of the university enterprise and student entrepreneur concept during the new academic year. The Minister of State, Minister of Higher Education and Chancellor of Academic Orders, Professor Jacques Famdongo, made the call while opening the 2024 session of the University Coordination Commission today in Yaoundé. Ngu Henry reports.
The session, holding at the backdrop of the start of the new academic year, brought together officials from the 11 state universities in the country. It focused on the digital transformation of the higher education network system, an update of the preparation of the university digital development centers, the issue of university enterprise and student entrepreneur appropriation in public and eventually private university institutions and academic debt. The Vice Chancellor of the University of Boya, Professor Uras Manga, says digital transformation didn't start with the construction of the digital centers in his institution.
Digital center only came to intensify digitalization of the university processes. Admission, processing of marks, delivery of certificates in a manner that can serve the students and the parents.
In his keynote address, the Minister of State, Minister of Higher Education and Chancellor of Academic Orders, Professor Jacques Famdongo, enjoins the participants to ensure the appropriation of the university enterprise and student entrepreneur. He says the new academic year is placed under the sign of commitment of all higher education players and partners to the emergence of transdisciplinary university enterprise and student entrepreneur.
Statistics indicate that over 400,000 internally displaced persons and about 7,000 refugees have benefited from emergency humanitarian assistance through a plan created in 2017 by the head of state, following the socio-political upheaval in the northwest and southwest regions. The welfare of the victims was subject to the proceedings of the major national dialogue, which took place exactly 5 years ago. Albert Njembonde, European report, comes back from the place given to IDPs and refugees during that event that was chaired by the Prime Minister at the behest of President Obama.
May our brothers and sisters who have become refugees and internally displaced persons go back to their villages to resume their regular activities again.
From the rostrum of the Yaoundé Conference Center, Prime Minister Joseph Diongote makes a clarion call on the need for IDPs and refugees to return home and the support they need from all Cameroonians. The major national dialogue was holding at a time when their numbers kept increasing, many fleeing from the northwest and southwest regions to the other 8 regions of the country and to neighboring Nigeria. Amongst the 8 committees of the dialogue was a committee to reflect on their well-being, placed under the chairmanship of Christian Cardinal Tumi.
Proceed to the physical headcount of all displaced persons and come up with an estimate of their basic socioeconomic needs, schools, health facilities, and accommodation. Provide resettlement and reintegration kits to refugees and internally displaced persons.
To this day, about 7,000 Cameroonian refugees in Nigeria and over 400,000 IDPs have benefited from emergency humanitarian assistance, including their host families and communities. Some have become so integrated in their host communities with flourishing businesses, and today speak of returning home only for holidays, transforming their malediction to a benediction.
Food and other items have been distributed to Cameroonian refugees who fled to Nigeria under the supervision of the Cameroon Consulate in Calabar. The consul to Calabar, Patrice Onana, told Albert Njembonde the efforts made by the government to lighten the plight of its citizens on Nigerian soil.
The latest figure published by the UNHCR on 31st August 2024, the total number is 68,140 Cameroonian refugees in Nigeria. That means more than 20 Cameroonian refugees have returned to their homes in Cameroon, especially in the southwest region. The situation has been improved with the wonderful work done by our defense and security forces under the auspice of the administrative authorities. As far as concerns the assistance of the Cameroon government, let me recognize that about 7,000 refugees have received humanitarian assistance of our government since 2019. 5 editions of distribution of humanitarian assistance were organized. The Republic of Cameroon didn't forget their citizens in Nigeria whenever they are under international protection because of their status of refugees.
And the Cameroon consul to Calabar, Patrice Onana, speaking there to Albert Njembonde. And 5 years after the major national dialogue, host communities like Bamendankwe are making commendable progress in integrating internally displaced persons affected by the ongoing conflict. Local authorities and organizations have focused on empowering IDPs with skills in agriculture and petty trading, as well as providing essential support like food and shelter to help them rebuild their lives. Sylvie Banta reports from Bamenda.
Since the major national dialogue, efforts to integrate internally displaced persons in host communities in Bamenda have progressed significantly. The Fund of Bamendankwe, Fund for Chesery III, has introduced skills training along with providing food and shelter to help IDPs sustain their livelihoods.
Out of 52 quarters here in Bamendankwe, almost close to 45 quarters host IDPs. They have been living in peace and harmony with the rest of the population here. You have others who've benefited farmland. So many of them benefited from didactic material to help them get back to school.
Head teacher Evelyn Fosu of a local primary school highlights that out of the over 200 pupils, many are IDPs without birth certificates and basic school supplies.
Most of the ICPs I'm accommodating don't have birth certificate, writing material, the bags. For now, I'm struggling to take the information to the council to help in making their birth certificates.
Among the displaced are IDP women who now rely on petit trading to support their families.
We are just here. I'm selling tomatoes and green spices.
These ongoing initiatives reflect a strong commitment to integrating IDPs and empowering them to become self-reliant in their host communities. Sylvie Bantar, CRTV News, Bamenda.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
Minutes after 3 p.m. you're listening to CRTV's afternoon edition. We told you in the headlines, dermatologists have warned users of skin lightening products that the bleaching substances could cause severe skin disorders, infections, and even life-threatening conditions. They have alerted the issue at the 5th Congress of the Society of Francophone African Dermatology, opened in Yaoundé today. Organized by the Cameroon Society of Dermatology, the Congress, to run through October the 4th, focuses on key dermatological issues, particularly the safe treatment of African skin. Rita Yosembo with the details.
I started using skin bleaching creams in my early 20s because I thought lighter skin would make me more beautiful and confident.
In the pursuit of beauty, many women are paying a devastating price. Skin bleaching, a dangerous trend among women seeking lighter skin, is causing serious damage to both their health and appearance. But now, former users like 38-year-old Anita are speaking out, warning others about the hidden dangers.
No beauty is worth your health. I want to tell my sisters out there, stop using these products before it's too late.
Anita is not alone. The desire for lighter skin has driven countless women to turn to skin bleaching creams. And these creams promise quick results, but often come with harmful and long-term effects. Marie, a 45-year-old lady living in Bamenda, shares her experience.
I began experiencing severe headache and fatigue. My doctor told me the chemicals in the cream were likely poisoning my system.
As the harmful effects of skin bleaching become clearer, more than 500 dermatologists and healthcare professionals from 30 countries have gathered in Yaoundé for the 5th Congress of the Society of Francophone African Dermatology and the 33rd Congress of the Association of Francophone Dermatologists. The experts are warning that despite the desire for lighter skin, bleaching products can lead to severe skin disorders, infections, and even life-threatening conditions like cancer.
That's right, Rita Yosembo, senior reporter. And the desire for light skin as a standard of beauty is boosting the growth of Cameroon's skin care market, with many users choosing to ignore the risks involved. A reporter, Colette Jani, visited some cosmetic herbs in Yaoundé and reports that despite the dangers that come with bleaching, the skin lightening business has become a lucrative one.
I don't bleach, I tone.
We are at the cosmetic section of the Acacia Market. Business is booming as usual in shops selling skin lightening products.
This is a very wonderful body lotion. You use it and feel yourself glow. You feel yourself get white without blemishes.
Releya owns a beauty parlor in Yaoundé and she tells us she mixes different creams for customers depending on their demands.
I get most of my ingredients from Nigeria and around cosmetic shops in town. I sell mostly online and also receive customers in my shop. Most of them prefer the whitening cream and that is what I do the most. And for a week, I can get an average 45 to 60,000 as profit.
The rising inclination of consumers towards a specific solution to different skin problems, such as age spot or acne spot reduction, has increased the adoption of various skin lighteners in the market.
I want my clients to get what they want, but without having any damage on their skin. Those who want whitening cream, they prefer to have like a long period of time. Those immediate results products can actually be very, very damaging to the skin, so I don't do that.
The global market for skin whitening was estimated at $8 billion and is projected to increase by nearly half within 6 years.
Call it Johnny. Thank you. Onto other news, UNESCO chairs, scholars and development partners from across the globe continue brainstorming on reforming Africa's educational system as the continent strives towards becoming a world power. This is at a forum of UNESCO chairs underway in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Among Cameroon scholars attending is a resident representative of the African Institute of Computer Sciences, holder of the UNESCO Chair of Central Africa, Armand Claude Abanda. Helen Udine has the details.
Cameroonian scholars and UNESCO shareholders attending the forum have held talks with the Cameroonian ambassador to France, Christophe Guillot. Among them was the resident representative of EIE Cameroon, Armand Claude Abanda, who is leading a delegation to the conference in his capacity as UNESCO chair for Central Africa. An ex-student of the African Institute of Computer Sciences in Cameroon, Aurélie Ateba, says the forum has lots of opportunities for her.
UNESCO supports Africa, but we must be active in our development. It is a pleasure for me to attend the International UNESCO Chair Forum. The advice I give young people is to be innovative and creative.
The resident representative of the African Institute of Computer Sciences, holder of the UNESCO Chair of Central Africa, Armand Claude Abanda, says the workshop will strengthen research capacities in Africa.
Development partners from all world regions to engage in dialogue, reflection, and collaborative actions on the transformation of knowledge for Africa's future.
Activities end on Wednesday with the exposé of the resident representative of EIE Cameroon on the need to promote gender equality in and through sciences, technology, engineering and mathematics.
On to sports, the race caravan of the 24th edition of Chantal Biya International Cycling Grand Prix is back in Yaoundé from Minta in the Upper Sanaga Division of the Centre Region ahead of the second lap of the tour this Wednesday from Yaoundé through Ebolova to Nkolandom in the South Region. In the meantime, Algerian rider Yassine Hamza is a winner of the first lap of the race from Koteng through Nangaiboko to Minta. CRTV's envoy to the race course, Ben Collins Nyeberewo, has the details.
The 62-strong peloton departed Koteng's ceremonial ground to the thunderous applause from the massive crowd mobilized by the mayor of that municipality, Hubert Kanga. Just 2 kilometers into the stage, Algerian rider Yassine Hamza launched a breakaway, dominating the lap. As the riders approached the finish line in Minta, a four-man group emerged. Yassine Hamza from Algeria, Van Dijk of Flanders Region Team from Belgium, Clement Guillaume of Club de la Défense from France, and Tella Atius of the SNH Velo Club from Cameroon. After a sprint finish, Hamza crossed the finish line in 2 hours 14 minutes 45 seconds, followed closely by Van Dijk and Guillaume. Van Dijk from Belgium says the race is promising to be tough.
He was the strongest in the sprint. I couldn't lose on the little uphills. Strong riders. We will try to win some stages.
Nigeria's national team cyclists remain hopeful despite crossing the finish line more than 12 minutes behind the winner.
Every first stage of the tour, it's always as if at the end of the day we're able to finish. It's a matter of participation. When the opportunity of winning comes out, we take it.
Bassem Hemman of Flanders Region from Belgium, Yassine Hamza remains a stumbling block.
The Algerian is too strong, too fast. He's the best of Africa. Even when they are not careful, he's going to win 4 or 5 stages.
The rest caravan heads to Yaoundé before tackling the second lap this Wednesday that will take them through Ebolova to Kolandom in the South Region. Bridge Song, Ben Collins, Nyeberiwo, CRTV News on the race course.
Thank you, Ben Collins. And now to NCRTV's afternoon edition, a reminder of our top stories. Certificates and qualifications issued by public and private institutions in Cameroon can henceforth be verified following the launch of an authenticity platform, an initiative of the Ministries of Higher Education and Public Service and Administrative Reform. Dermatologists from French-speaking African countries are meeting in Yaoundé for their 5th Congress and on the occasion sounding the alarm against skin bleaching carried out by at least 25% of African women with a risk of causing infections and life-threatening conditions. CRTV's afternoon edition was a presentation of Drusilla Mokoso Joki. Up next is a summary of the French of the news in the French language with Priscan Jeng. Bon après-midi.
Bon après-midi.
Lutte contre le blanchiment d'argent et le financement du terrorisme, la Direction générale du Trésor, de la coopération financière et monétaire sensibilise les dirigeants sociaux, les établissements des microfinances. C'est dans le cadre d'une série de séminaires régionaux lancés ce mardi par la Direction générale du Trésor. La plateforme gouvernementale de vérification de l'authenticité des parchemins universitaires en relation avec les administrations et les institutions publiques et privées délivrant les diplômes est désormais opérationnel. L'instrument a été acté au cours des travaux présidés par Jacques Famedongo, ministre d'État, ministre de l'Enseignement supérieur, en présence de Joseph Lee, ministre de la Fonction publique et de la Réforme administrative. Le Cameroun se joint au reste du monde pour commémorer ce 1er octobre, la 34e édition de la Journée internationale des personnes âgées, placée sous le thème « Notre place ». À cette occasion, le ministre des Affaires sociales, Pauline Irengele, a donné ce matin un point de presse, objectif présenter les actions du gouvernement en faveur de l'inclusion sociale des personnes du troisième âge. État des lieux de l'implication des jeunes dans le développement urbain, c'est sur ce thème que le ministre de l'Habitat et du Développement urbain a entretenu plusieurs jeunes au cours d'une table ronde à Ebolova, région du Sud. C'est dans le cadre des activités relatives à la semaine de l'habitat, dont la journée mondiale se célèbre le 7 octobre prochain. Dermatologie en Afrique noire, enjeux et défis face aux innovations, cette thématique a rassemblé à Yaoundé plus de 500 participants venus d'une trentaine de pays. Il est question pendant 4 jours pour ces experts d'échanger leur expérience et d'explorer les innovations qui façonnent l'avenir de la dermatologie. Et puis en sport, 24e édition du Grand Prix cycliste international Chantal Biya, l'Algérien Yassine Hamza, a gagné la première étape qui s'est courue entre Nkoten, Nangaïboko et Minta, une étape longue de 99,4 km. Madame, Monsieur, c'était le condensé des nouvelles en langue anglaise. Merci de l'avoir suivi. Bonne suite des programmes sur le poste national de la CIRC TV.